This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, we've been in a faith series, amen? And we've been learning a lot about faith. Let's go to our main text that we've been going with on the series, and it's Hebrews 11:6. Do you have it memorized yet? Amen? You should. Glory to God. We've been going, this is the seventh session on faith. And I'm going to say this, we can't learn enough about faith. Amen. Because we live by faith, we walk by faith, and faith is the key to pleasing God, as we find out in Hebrews 11:6. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a God pleaser. I know we got God pleasers in the house today. Amen. And it says, but without faith, it's impossible. Somebody say impossible. To please God. Hallelujah. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So when we focus on God is, you got to focus that God is good and his nature is love. Somebody say God is good. And his nature is love. No matter what you're facing in life, no matter what you may be going through, God will help you through whatever situation you're going through, because he is good and he is love. And we don't look at what God is, compare that to our hard circumstances. We look at God's word. Amen. So when God is good, and the key to seeking God is spending time with him through prayer, worship, and the word of God. Amen. And this is a key. And if you want to develop the goodness of God in your life, I believe there's some scriptures that will help you and give us the rewards of seeking God this morning. One of my favorite scriptures, has anybody ever heard of Psalms 37:4? Glory to God. We got one person here. Amen. Amen. One person. Glory to God. So you need to write notes here. Amen. And I like this because we're talking about seeking God, and God wants to reveal his goodness to us by rewarding us. And he wants to reward us by answered prayer. Do you believe that today? God wants to answer your prayer. You got to believe that. And so in seeking God, in Psalms 37:4, it says, if you delight yourself also in the Lord, he shall give you the desires of your heart. How many people are delighting in the Lord out here? How many people get excited about their devotion time? Amen. We got some people raising their hands. I'm going to say this. If you are a Christian, you need to have some time that you spend with God. And I really believe this every day. And really, you should get excited about spending time with God. And when you spend time with God, you delight in his word, he will give you the desires of your heart. I love that. That's one of my favorite scriptures. And I like this because sometimes we get nervous if we're going to actually follow the will and the plan of God in our lives. And I like what it says in Psalms 138:8. And it says here, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. So this scripture is a powerful scripture. When we delight in the Lord, God wants to make sure that his will is done in our life. You believe that today? And I believe that when you get into his word, you'll find out that his will is good. Somebody say, God's will is good for me. And so we will walk out the will and the plan of God, and that's always a blessed plan. And it says here in Psalms 38 that he will perfect that which concerns you. Does anybody have any concerns in the house? Maybe you got some concerns for maybe your family, maybe your neighbors, maybe people that don't know the Lord. Maybe you're concerned about them getting saved. Well, God will move on your heart to pray for these people, to witness to these people, to perfect the things that you're believing God to do in your life. Amen? I love this. And so faith really is the key to see the impossible work in our lives. And I love this. And God does take an active role by showing us his love to us. In Philippians 1:6, it says, being confident in this very thing, that he who begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. Have you ever felt in here that you're not going to make it? Amen. Have you ever felt in here that Lord, I don't know if I'm going to make it to the end of the day. I don't know if I'm going to make it to the end of the week. That the pressures of life are coming. But I'm going to say this. You can be confident that he that began a good work in you will complete it to the day of Christ. So God's working with your faith. Somebody say, God's working with my faith. And so he's working with you to make sure that everything comes to pass to what you're believing God for. And here's a bonus scripture in Psalms 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he, God, delights in our ways. Can you say that God delights in your ways? Can you say that if you are a person of prayer, a person of the word, a person that's sold out to God, God's gonna order your steps. Amen. I like what the Amplify says, talking about God ordering our steps. He says, the steps of a good and righteous man are directed and established by the Lord, and delights in his way and blesses his paths. I don't know about you, but I want my paths to be blessed wherever I go. Amen. A great prayer to start your day off, and I want to encourage you to pray this prayer every day, is Heavenly Father, order my steps. Amen. That is a great prayer, because we want God to order our steps from day to day. And when he's ordering our steps, we'll make all the right moves. And I don't know about you, but I don't like making wrong moves. I don't like making mistakes. And God can help you make the right moves every day. He will order your steps. Somebody say, my steps are ordered of the Lord. Glory to God. So the title of my series is Exceeding Faith. God wants our faith growing. Is your faith growing? Are you believing God for anything, or is it dormant? Are you just coasting in God? God doesn't want us coast. You don't coast very long. You start going down, because any dead fish can float downstream, but it takes a living fish to swim up. Somebody say, I'm a salmon. Amen. Glory to God. And so it takes a living fish. You got to keep pressing in to the things of God for your faith to grow. You don't let your faith grow dormant. What you're believing God for, keep it activated every day. If you're believing your kids for salvation, keep reminding God that me and my household will be saved. Amen. Keep bringing it up to the Lord. Keep thanking him that he's moving. Don't let your faith become dormant. Don't just pray a prayer. Well, I prayed a prayer last year, and I haven't thought about it since last year, and you haven't seen it yet either, right? So you need to start putting your faith alive by keeping your prayers going. Amen. So I want to launch this message with this scripture here, talking about growing exceeding faith, because the title of the series is Exceeding Faith. And I love this. It's in the book of Thessalonians, and the Apostle Paul is writing to the Thessalonian church, and he's amazed about their faith. And it says in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, it says, we bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it's fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds towards each other. So we see there's a key to growing faith. And that key is that they had love abounding. Hey, I'm going somewhere today. Their love was abounding towards each other. You know, the Bible says in the last days, people's love will grow cold. We can see that in the world today. We can see there's a lot of hate in the world today. There's a lot of of this in the world, but that should not be in the church. The church loves and the church doesn't hate. Hate always, if it's unchecked, will turn into murder. Amen. And Jesus said, if you just hate your brother, you're basically murdering him in the spirit. And so we don't want to hate. We're not haters. We're love. Somebody say, I'm not a hater. I'm a lover. Amen. You got to be a lover and a good fighter of faith. So he says here that their faith grew exceedingly because they have love for each other. So my subtitle of my sermon is, the title is Exceeding Faith, but the subtitle is Love the Foundation of Faith. Or you could say love the bedrock of faith. Because if you don't have love working in your faith, then your faith is useless. We know that it talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Anybody ever read the love chapter out here? Well, we need to be reading it as often as we can. And Apostle Paul is saying that we could have faith to move mountains. We could speak like angels. We can do all these amazing things. But if we don't have love working, it means nothing in God's eyes. But so love is the key. That's the key to making our faith work. Amen. And so I love that. So faith is the key. And I love that. So let's look at Hebrews 11:1. Because last week we talked about components of faith. And there's different components that make faith work. And one of the components or spiritual forces that makes faith work is hope. Hope is a spiritual force, and love is another spiritual force. And we're going to be talking about the third spiritual force next week. But in last week we talked about, you may remember it, in Hebrews 11:1, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So we see here that hope is a powerful force that causes faith to work. You could say hope is the title deed of what you believe in God for. In other words, the Word of God tells you what you have, and hope believes and sees it coming to pass in your life. So hope creates a vision of God's promise in your life. Do you have a vision for better days? That's my question to you. Do you have a vision that your family can be saved? That's my question for you. Do you have a vision that God can prosper you in a world of poverty? I believe He can. You just got to get a vision. I like some of the people that were touched by Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus imagined himself seeing, and the Lord opened his eyes. The lady with the issue of blood imagined herself well, and her faith made her whole. The lepers cried out for mercy, and they received healing when they showed themselves to the priests. The thief on the cross received salvation when he reached out to Jesus. And I'm telling you, your hope will bring a clear vision in your heart that brings to pass the substance of what you are believing God for. So today, I want to focus on this key force called love. You know, there was a song, What Does Love Have to Do With It? Love has everything to do with it. It's not a single hand emotion. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And love is designed not to break hearts. Amen. What does love have to do with it? Love has everything to do with our walk in Christ. You believe that today? I love this because Paul was ministering to the Galatians, to the churches in Galatians, and he says here in Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything but faith working through love. That's powerful. That's powerful. So he's saying it's not keeping the law that's the key to walking in the grace of God. It's walking in the love of God. And when you walk in the love of God, you will obey God's word. Amen. And so he's saying here that it's not about circumcision or keeping the Mosaic law that keeps you safe. It's walking in the love of God and having faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Say, I'm walking in the love of God. I have faith in Jesus. So faith is, I like it what it says in the Amplified. It says, for if we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, only faith activated, expressed, and working through love. So faith is activated, it's expressed, and it works through love. That's powerful. That's powerful. So I want to give you some keys. How many people want some keys on how to walk in greater love today? Amen? How many people can stand to walk in greater love? Yes. Has anybody got angry this week? Has anybody got any get upset with what how things are going down at times? Sometimes we get angry. The Bible says you can be angry, but sin not. Amen. You can get angry. You can get upset, but the Bible says you can. And the Bible also says don't let the sun go down on your anger. In other words, get it right before the sun goes down. Husbands and wives, get it right before you go to sleep. Or one person's going to be far on the other side of the bed. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Get it right. Get it right. And so it's not a sin to be angry. It's a sin to stay angry and let that turn into hate. Or turn something worse, amen? So the first key to walking in the love of God is we must learn to be selfless and not selfish. See, the world is selfish. The world is all about me, myself, and I, the false trinity. Yeah. Amen. That's what the world is about. We got to be very careful we don't get the world's philosophy working in us. That we're just living for what we can get out of God. No. Maybe when you first came to God, you were trying to get something from God. But pretty soon you start walking with God, you want to give something to God. Amen. Can I get a witness now? It's not about you receiving all the time. Pretty soon the love of God will cause you to move from being a receiver to being a giver. Amen. Somebody say, I'm a giver. So the flesh is all about self, and walking in God's love is pleasing God and serving others. You know, think about this. I was thinking about love and really what is one of the greatest keys of walking in love? And I believe one of the greatest keys in walking in love is being a servant. Everybody wants to be served. Amen. People think, you know, when you get to heaven, you're going to be laying on a cloud with an angel dropping grapes in your mouth, right? That's what some people think, right? That's going to be heaven. But really, I've heard that heaven is people are serving in heaven. I've heard people are serving one another in heaven. And there is a joy in serving. And I'm going to tell you, the most miserable people are the people that are selfish and self-centered. The most happy people are the ones that's getting out of themselves and serving others. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? Yeah. I like Jesus' example. And Jesus had a great example. In Philippians 2, 5 and 8, it says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we want to have Jesus' mindset. Amen. Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself, he became obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross. This is a powerful verse talking about the humility and the love of Jesus. And we want to have that kind of mindset. Amen. I like this because Jesus, it says here, Jesus made himself of no reputation. Love focuses on promoting God over self. I'm going to say it again. Love focuses on promoting Jesus over promoting self. Can I get an amen here? Jesus became a servant of all servants. It says here, if you want to walk in the love of God, love learns to be a servant over being served. Amen. The Bible says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. And then I like this. Jesus laid down his life for us. Greater love cares about others' well-being more than self-preservation. So if you're going to walk in the love of God, you care about others more than yourself. And that's a hard pill to swallow. Because we, a lot of times, you know, we care about ourselves much more than we care about the other guy. Is that true? That's the nature of the flesh. The flesh cares about self. The flesh is self-centered. The flesh is self-willed. But when you're walking in the Spirit, you care about God and you care about serving other people. Remember what Jesus said the greatest love is? In John 15, 13, it says, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one life for his friends. So I'm going to say this. It might be, you might have an opportunity where you might have to lay down your life for somebody else. And I'm telling you, people are doing that every day that are in Christ Jesus all across the world. They're laying their lives down for the truth. And there's going to be people out here that's going to try to destroy godly people. But I'm telling you, you cannot keep a God man down. Amen. And so that's the greatest love, is to lay down your life for your friends. But Jesus did not only lay down his life for his friends, he laid down his life for his enemies as well. Is that right? So that's a greater level of love. A lot of people will lay down their life for their friend or their family, but laying down your life for your enemy, wow. In Matthew 20, 25, and 28, talking about servanthood, it says, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Those who are great exercise authority over them. In other words, everybody wants to be the boss. That's what Jesus is saying. Everybody wants to tell people what to do. Is that right? Amen. But he said, yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Wow, this is a powerful concept, isn't it? It's a concept of servanthood. Anybody want to start serving in here? Glory to God. Hallelujah. We got no hands. Amen. Glory to God. We are looking for people for our church, teachers, ushers. So if you want to serve, this is a perfect time for you to sign up for it at the end of the service. Amen. Thought I'd put that plug in. Glory to God. And if we're going to walk in the love of God, we must be like God and be givers and not takers. Amen. Somebody say, I'm a giver. And we have to learn to be giving. We need to learn to be a giver. I'd like the golden text of the Bible. And the golden text of the Bible is John 3:16. We all should know this passage. For God so loved the world that he did nothing for us. No, that's a reverse translation. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we see here that God gave his very best, his Son Jesus, for us. And I don't believe it was easy for God to do that. I believe God has emotions and he feels, glory to God. And it wasn't easy for him to give up his Son for us. But I'm going to say this, we were worth it to him. Look at your neighbor and say, you're worth it. In other words, your worth is not based on how your talents or how great you are in the natural. Your worth is based on the blood of Jesus. Amen. Your worth is based on what was paid for you at the cross. And you're special in God's eyes. You got to believe that today. You have worth, glory to God. That's why every human being is made in the image of God, and they have worth, even though they may not have the same opinion that you have. That's a weak amen. I don't always agree with everybody. We're not going to always agree with everybody, but they still have value because they're made in the image of God, and we need to show people respect and honor, no matter what their persuasion might be. Is that right? Glory to God. Jesus loves us and he gave his life, and Jesus expects us to give our life back to him. See, there's too many people who are living their lives for themselves. There's lots of Christians out here that are living their lives for themselves, but we're supposed to be living our lives for Jesus. Amen. I like what Jesus said here in Matthew 16, 24. Then Jesus said to the disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. There is a blessing. Jesus said, if you want to find your life, another scripture, you must lose it for the gospel's sake. If you want to find a life worth living, you need to learn to lose your life in Christ Jesus. There's a blessing to being a giver. The Word of God says it's more blessed to give than to receive. There's a blessing in giving. I like Luke 6:38. It says, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So I believe whatever we sow in love, we will reap it back. I'm going to say again, whatever we sow, you sow respect, you're going to eventually get respect back. You sow honor, you're going to eventually get honor back. You sow finances, and finances will come back into your equation. Do you believe that today? Another key to walking in the love of God, and this is a big one. You ready for this big one for this morning? Is forgiveness. We must take forgiveness over offense. You know, Jesus said in this life, we're going to all have opportunities to be offended. Has anybody out here ever been offended? Amen. We got some nods. Amen. We've all have the opportunity to be offended. Jesus said it this way in Luke 17. Then he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come. So Jesus is saying it's impossible. In other words, if you are on this planet and you're around people, bet your bottom dollar offense is going to come. Somebody's going to hurt your feelings. Somebody's going to hurt you. Amen. And you know, and so, but if you're walking in the love of God, you're going to be like Teflon. You're going to be like that duck. The water's going to roll off your back. Amen. So I love that. So Jesus said, offenses will come, but woe to him to whom they do come. Then Jesus is saying, be careful that you're not the offender. We need to be careful that we're not offending people. But it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he thrown in the sea, than he should offend one of these little ones. In other words, if you're leading people astray by a lifestyle that's ungodly, God's going to judge you over that. Amen. And we're not called to lead. We're called to lead people closer to God. That's why your actions, your words, the way you live your life matters. It matters because people are watching you and people can get offended. Amen. Then he says here, take heed of yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Amen. So if somebody does something wrong to you, let them know. Don't let it fester and give them the silent treatment for the rest of their life. Sometimes that's what we do. You're dead to me. Amen. That's what we do. I'm not going to talk to them anymore. Amen. And I think Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank would say that to some of the people that are trying to pitch him a business deal. He'd say, you're dead to me, right? So we're not like the world. We don't just ditch people. We don't just silence people. Amen. We don't get silent and stay away. No. We come to them. And we let them know that they did something wrong. And it says if they repent, forgive them. And then Jesus goes to the next level. Why does Jesus have to go to another level? Can I just forgive the offender just once? Amen. No, Jesus said here that if he sins against you seven times a day, man, I'm telling you. And in that day returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. But what if he's not really being serious. Amen. It doesn't seem like it. Amen. And he said, you must forgive him. And then the apostles said something amazing. They cried out, Lord, increase our faith. In other words, it takes faith to forgive. It takes faith to forgive somebody that has done you wrong, that done you down and dirty. Amen. It takes faith to forgive. Amen? And it even takes faith to love. Amen? Because you're going to have to use your faith to love the unlovely. It takes faith to speak a kind word to an ugly person. Amen? But you know, you can do it. Amen? Amen? The model prayer, remember the model prayer, which is the Lord's Prayer? It's in Matthew 6, 9, 11. And Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray. And he's teaching them in this manner, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day your daily bread. But I want to focus on this part of the prayer. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Matthew 6, 12. I like what the New Living Translation says. It says, forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. I like that. Sometimes when we think about debts, you think differently. But it's our sins. You can sin against other people. We can sin against God, and we can sin against other people. And we got to be very careful about that. And so he's saying here, he gives us a warning down on the passage about unforgiveness. He says, if you forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. That's awesome. But if you do not forgive men of their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. That's powerful. That's powerful. That means that you can be held in check by your unforgiveness. You can be, in other words, the grace can be stopped in your life by walking in unforgiveness. And I don't know about you, but I need the grace of God. I need God's mercy. In other words, the mercy can stop in your life. Amen. Because forgiveness and mercy go hand in hand. And I don't know about you, but I need God's mercy every day. And if I'm holding something against somebody else, the mercy may not be flowing towards me like I need to. For it to flow. Amen? And so I don't know about you, but I need the mercy of God. Jesus practiced what he preached. And the greatest words that Jesus spoke on the cross was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that's powerful. And so if you're going to go to the next level in faith, you not only forgive the people that hurt you, but you pray for them. Oh, Father, do I have to pray blessings on them? Amen. You go to the next level. You start praying for those that did you wrong. And what happens when you start praying for your enemies, then compassion starts working in your heart. I'm going to say again, when you pray for those that God will bless them, then the compassion will start working because eventually they're going to reap what they sow. If they don't repent and change. Amen. And God is the one, he says, do not, God says that he will revenge you, beloved. In other words, you put it in God's hands, you pray for them, and let the vengeance be on the Lord. Amen. And God can pay back much better than we can pay back. Amen. I'm going to say again, God can pay back the offender more than we can pay it back. Amen. I love that. And so some say, well, Jesus, you know, he forgave on the cross and prayed. That's Jesus. But I'm not Jesus. Yeah, he had the love of God. He was the Word made flesh. That's Jesus. I don't know if I can do it. Well, if you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit. And if you got the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in Romans 5:5, now hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So the Holy Spirit will give you the power to walk in Jesus' love. Amen. The Holy Spirit will help you forgive people and pray for them. You just have to yield to the Holy Spirit. And some say, well, again, you might be saying, that's not easy. No, it's not easy. I never said this. This message isn't an easy message. Because when we get hurt, we want to hurt. When somebody offends us, when somebody slaps us, we want to slap them back. But we got to learn to turn the other cheek. Amen. I love that. And so there was a man that was born again that prayed for those that were killing him. That was Stephen. Stephen was the first martyr of the church. And we're going to take it right here in Acts 7, 59, verse 59 through 60. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That's powerful. Think about that. Somebody's killing you and you're praying for them. Somebody's throwing rocks at you, and they may not throw physical rocks at you, natural rocks, but they're saying words that feel like rocks being nailed on you, glory to God. And so what did Stephen do? He had the love of God, and he prayed that God would forgive him. You know who was in that crowd that day? The Apostle Paul. And you know, the Apostle Paul was holding the coats. He said, let me hold your coats. Here's some stones. He may have passed them some stones. But Paul was there. And you know, Paul heard what Stephen said. And Paul heard that. And you know what? It must have worked on Paul's heart. Like, wow, this man is praying that God would forgive me. And God not only forgave Paul, but I believe the same grace and the anointing that was on Stephen, he walked in miracles and the power of God. That same calling came upon Paul. Think about that. God raised up somebody that was an enemy to the church. And because of the love of God in that person, I believe that could have been one of the reasons that changed Paul into Saul the persecutor of the church to Paul the apostle of love. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? I love that. So we're not only supposed to forgive. The next level, we're supposed to pray. In Matthew 5, 43 and 44, it says, you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do not do good to those who hate you. Now that's not easy. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. The only way you can do that is with the Holy Spirit working on the inside of you. You can't do it any other way. You got to yield to the Holy Spirit. Another key to walking in God's love, and this is a big key, is that you need to be thankful. Amen. You need to create a heart of thankfulness. Paul is talking about unredeemed people in Romans. And he's talking about people that are moving away from God. And in Romans 1:18, it says here, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because although they knew God, you know, they had a knowledge of God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So we see here there were people that had a knowledge of God, but they stopped giving God thanks and glory. And then what happened? Their hearts became darkened. Amen. And God is love. And when your heart becomes dark to God, your heart becomes dark to love. I'm going to say that again. Your heart becomes dark to love. Amen. Love will come into our lives when we glorify God on a continual basis. Amen. I believe that. I love what it says in Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. This is the Apostle Paul, and he says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ. God's love will compel us to rejoice and not murmur or complain. God's love will keep us constant in communication with the Lord in prayer. God's love will compel us to give thanks in an unthankful world. Amen? Praise and thanksgiving comes from us remembering what God has done for us. So you got to remember that what God has done for you. Get a revelation of the price that Jesus paid. Amen? I like this because sometimes the devil wants you to forget how good God really is. The devil wants you focus on the circumstances that you're dealing with in your life, and they might be some hard circumstances. Don't focus on the hard circumstances, because when we're focused on the negativities of life, it will take the love of God out of us. We will tend to complain. We'll tend to murmur. We'll tend to gripe. But we don't want to do that. We want to learn to rejoice always. Somebody say rejoice always. So what are God's benefits that you want to focus on? I'm glad you asked, and we're closing out with this scripture. In Psalms 103, 1 through 6, you all are very familiar with it probably. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who forgives all of your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with love and kindness and tender mercy." Somebody say, "I'm crowned with love and kindness and tender mercies." That's how we should be walking. Amen. We should be crowned with love and kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. How many people are confessing that on a daily basis? Especially your older people out here. Amen. My youth is renewed like the eagles. And it says here, "The Lord execute righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed." So if we focus and we stay focused, what keeps us in praise and worship is focusing on what Jesus has done for us. And when you have that heart of praise and worship and thankfulness, that cultivates a heart of love for God. And that heart of love for God will penetrate our souls to love others. Do you believe that today? When we are really loving God and you're in a beautiful relationship with the Lord, your relationship should be good too. Amen. Because it should be good vertically and horizontally. If it's good with your relationship with God, it should be good with your relationship with others. But if it's bad with your relationship with God, it's going to be bad with others. Amen. If you're in sin, doing the wrong things, your relationship's going to be wrecked. Because sin separates us from the love of God. So in closing, if you're going to walk in the love of God, we got to walk in the love of God by being selfless and not selfish. If we're going to walk in the love of God, God's love will compel us to be givers. If we're going to walk in the love of God, it will motivate us to show love and mercy and forgive those that offend us. If we're going to walk in God's love, it will prompt us to worship and give thanks to God. And if we're going to walk in God's love, we will demonstrate it by remembering what Jesus has done for us. And I'm telling you, when you start focusing on what Jesus has done for you, your love, and it's going to compel you to be a bold witness for Christ. You're going to tell people about how good God has been for you. And I'm telling you, you're going to draw people into the love of God and bring them into the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Did you receive it this morning? I believe you did. Amen. We're going to walk in love if it hair lips the devil. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.